And welcome back. Joining us right now is Duffy Fainter, based in San Diego, California. And Duffy has been skydiving since 1974. You don't look that old.
Well, I tell people every time they ask me how long I've been skydiving, because I'm only 5'5", so I raise my hand up here and go, ever since I was that tall.
There you go. And you are here this week because we have a fantastic display that's going to take place Wednesday night, and then again later in the week as well.
Yeah, amazingly enough, in the history of Air Ventures, there's never been a large skydiving formation event here. So we're going to put up a formation of 108 people, and that is a world record attempt at building six specific formations during the course of the 60-second free fall. Wow. Actually, it's about a 75-second free fall and 30 seconds to break the formation apart from 20,000 feet.
My goodness. Now, from 20,000 feet, that's way up there. I mean, are we going to be able to see it well from the ground? Or
you know, on a day like today where we have a little bit of cloud cover way up high, you should have no problem seeing it, and hopefully we'll get the cameras on it to follow the jump run. Everybody will be on their backs pointing, and I think it'll be pretty easy viewing conditions, and certainly once they're in free fall and the formation starts to build, it'll be pretty exciting to watch from the ground. And when it's complete, it'll still be held at 6,000 feet, and then you'll see everybody breaking off symmetrically and 110 parachutes opening. It'll be pretty exciting. We'll have 108 skydivers plus about four or five freefall cameramen stationed around the periphery of the formation getting the video.
Great. Now, how did this all come together here?
You know, coincidentally, one of the world record skydivers, Jim McCormick, who's an event organizer and a motivational speaker, he was on an airplane, just flying in coach, coming back from an event. The guy beside him noticed that he was reading Parachutist magazine, made some inquiries, and it turned out that it was the director of airshow operations for Air Venture, and they had a conversation, and just out of a complete coincidence, this event ensued. So it's pretty exciting for everybody.
Well, I know that we're always looking for new and different things to show off. I mean, the world's best aerobatic performers are always here, but looking for things like this jump and the short takeoff and landing contest that was started last year, some really interesting things that are taking place. So 108 people are going to come together. They're all going to jump out of how many airplanes?
It's going to be five airplanes.
Okay.
The lead airplane is a Sherpa, which is a stretch sky van, tailgate aircraft. The base of the formation, or what we call the nest, comes out of that. And all the trail planes are twin otters, super twin otters. Exit altitude, 20,000 feet. Everybody's breathing oxygen through nasal cannulas from one main tank, getting some good breaths before exit, tossing it aside, and when the green light goes, hopefully you're nice and oxygenated during your free fall down to 15,000 feet, something a little bit more breathable.
Wow. And where did all these people come from?
I think that you could count up probably 20 or 25 different countries. We've got a bunch of Russians. I would jump with them yesterday, about 10 Russians, Canadians, Mexicans, Argentinians, Scandinavians, and then probably at least half the group are Americans.
Okay.
So this is a group that's been traveling together on and off, a group of as many as 1,500 people over the last 20 years that have been building world records around the world, many of them in Thailand when we had access to the Royal Thai Air Force C-130s. So this is a group that's very comfortable with each other, that knows each other, and once we get into free fall, we're very comfortable, you know, in a nonverbal way doing the mission and flying in formation in close proximity.
So flying in formation airplane-wise versus parachute or skydiving-wise, there must be some similarities. You must do a pre-briefing
These pilots that are coming together for this particular jump are very accustomed to flying formations. They do it all the time at their home drop zones. The aircraft coming out of Skydive Chicago are doing big formations all the time. And there's going to be a 175-person world record next week in Skydive Chicago that's going to take eight aircraft. And that's a head-down formation where they actually fly straight head down at 175 miles an hour and then maneuver in relative formation in that configuration. So these pilots are extremely skilled. They completely brief it very carefully. And the formation is extremely tight, all five aircraft. And it has to be the same perfect formation every time, because when the skydivers exit, they expect to see the same sight picture, because they have to make their approach and their arrival and their dock, you know, consistently from the same direction. And, you know, you only have 60 seconds to build it. And We anticipate it'll take about 40 seconds to build the initial 100-person formation, and then every 6 seconds maximum, 40% of the formation is letting go of the base of the formation and transitioning to another place. And then that formation has to be held long enough for it to look like a completely distinct new formation. Then it gets broken off. And these are all just visual cues that are coming from the different sectors, people responsible for looking, communicating back to the center person who's responsible for giving the whole big head nod to move on to the next point. So it's very complex. It requires a lot of trust that everybody's on. And then there's other issues. So we move on to the other nuances of how this all comes together.
And do you practice on the ground first, or is this really you just kind of talk through it and then everybody just knows what they're supposed to do?
It's all walked out on the ground. Okay. So much like aircraft formation will be walked out on the ground, much like aerobatics is internally visualized and they know their route, or how skiers will go through the whole downhill course. It's all the same for skydivers. We walk it out on the ground. We'll lay it down on the ground, taking the different grips to have a good visual of how it's all going to stretch out, how it's going to look when we're in the on the grip and in the formation. And then we practice the keys and practice the moves. It's all well rehearsed. So right now they're in Skydive Chicago, which is near about 80 miles southwest of Chicago, and they're practicing in the different sectors. What we call the action teams. Now, we're named after the original aviation formation team here at Oshkosh, the Eagles.
Okay.
So out of respect for that, we have named our team the Skydiving Museum and Hall of Fame Eagles. So we call the base of the formation the nest, and then all the action teams are in the periphery. And it's tricky because once you have the initial fall rate and everybody's holding on to it, the whole mass of the formation attains its own airspeed. So once you let go of that and the differential of drag is reduced, suddenly everybody's flying at a different airspeed again and then has to adjust by body position or cupping or spilling air and then moving forward and backward accordingly. So we made the world's largest formation of 400, which is still the current world record, back in 2006 in Thailand. And that was difficult enough, but actually letting go and then moving back in again adds a layer of complexity and difficulty that is not easy to overcome.
Yeah, we've been seeing some of the footage up on the big screen, and it, as I was watching it, you know, getting ready for this show, I was amazed. I never thought about it, but you have to have certain approach, you have to be timed in and out. You just can't all let go at once. I mean, even though it looks that way from the ground, when you really slow the video down and watch it, it's a pretty complex maneuver to get everybody together and safely apart.
You know, in as much as there's so much complexity in getting everybody in, okay, it's very staged and orchestrated and briefed for the break-off, because we break off in waves. That gives everybody separation, both vertically and horizontally. We have teams where we'll follow each other out for 20 seconds before we split up. And as we're tracking away, we're attaining lateral speeds of up to 80 to 90 miles an hour and reducing our free fall speed somewhat. So we do get a lot of great separation, and that visually is very cool to watch from the ground. People will definitely get excited when they see that and give them a new appreciation for just how much speed that they can attain in free fall. When we did the 400-person formation, we had people spread out over a four-square-mile area when the canopy's deployed. Now, when the canopies deploy, they initially open with up to 25 to 30 miles an hour of forward drive, and that's so they're already set in half brakes. But when they're in full glide, they can get up to 35 to 40. So when you have two converging canopies and your canopy opens initially, you don't really have any control over if it's going to open straight ahead, which you hope it will, but sometimes it goes a little to the left. Sometimes you get a 180, and you're facing everybody else coming at you. So it's tricky. So we're trying to be very heads up and very careful, and the break off is very key to the safety issue.
Great. With the Skydiving Hall of Fame, can you just kind of walk us through the chronology of parachuting while skydiving? I mean, obviously, World War II, you have the parachute drops. Those were not recreational. They were more of a function rather than fun. But with the round canopies compared to today's technology?
I think that the way that I understand it, that, you know, there were some paratroopers that actually enjoyed their descent. Perhaps they weren't the ones that were going into the into the drop zones in Normandy. But after the war, there were a lot of parachutists who were interested in continuing to jump, and they created the Parachute Club of America, jumping what was only available, which was 28-foot round parachutes, 32-foot round parachutes, military surplus equipment, doing static lines and just initial hop and pop, short free falls. And it wasn't until the late 50s that two people actually managed to fly in proximity and exchange a baton. And in 1987, that was the first 100-person formation. And since then, things have just grown exponentially, and people have really discovered different modes and different attitudes in free fall. But it all basically evolved from military skydiving. It was also very popular in France. That was a country and a region that helped the evolution of sport jumping, and the Russians as well. So when the first international competitions were taking place in the 50s, it was always the Soviet bloc, you know, against the American bloc, and it was a very competitive environment. And now we couldn't build these big formations without the Russians.
Great.
So we're happy to have them aboard.
Good. What's the largest formation you've been in?
The current world record, 400 people.
Okay. So as you exit the airplane, what were you thinking? Or were you just totally concentrating on what you needed to do to make this happen?
Don't screw up. That's the number one thing that probably all of us were thinking.
Okay.
Don't get lost. Don't go low. One problem is if you do, you can stay high, and we try to form a stadium to make the approach. So you always have the ability to go down. Once you're below it, you're pretty much unable to get back up again. So what's going through my mind is just, who am I following? Where do I need to be? Am I staying in the slot? Basically, just like formation flying, you have to stay in the slot. Don't get acute and don't get quick. What's that word? I'm just learning formation flying now in my cheetah. Don't get
behind the power curve.
Well, just don't get out.
Okay.
Like the guy in the right seat was always screaming, "Get in there! Get in there!" Yeah. So that's what's going on in my head. Get in there.
Great. And the Skydiving Hall of Fame. Let's talk a little bit about that.
Right now, it's an online museum
and
Hall of Fame, and each year we induct people who have made great contributions to the sport, great contributions to the equipment side and the manufacturing side, and great pioneers of the sport. We hope to have a physical presence soon in Fredericksburg, Virginia, near our national headquarters. And all that is ongoing, and this is our opportunity to not only showcase skydiving to the aviation enthusiasts and all around the world here at AirVenture in Oshkosh, but also to make it known that there is a sport of skydiving that has a great legacy. It's aviation-related, and it is the Hall of Fame, and we are the Skydiving Hall of Fame Eagles.
Great. Not to put you on the spot, but about how many skydiving schools or places are there in the country?
That is a number I couldn't accurately give you, but I know that when I'm flying across country, that every little airport now seems to have a tandem operation in it. So I would say that near every college town, there's guaranteed to be a skydiving center.
All right. Good. Well, we've got one just down the road here in Omro. And some friends did the tandem jump for their 18th birthday.
Nice.
I haven't done that yet. So it convinced me why I should jump out of a perfectly good airplane.
Well, it'll be curious to see how many kids, you know, see this happening overhead, never forget that first jump and make that permanent impression so that when they're 18, they're running out looking for a tandem center for themselves.
Yep. All right. Well, Duffy, we appreciate you being with us and sharing some time this morning. When are the jumps?
I will be back up here for you, calling the action when they're here on Wednesday afternoon. We're looking Wednesday afternoon around 4 o'clock. And again on Friday afternoon, same time, and early evening at about 7 o'clock. They're getting bussed up from the Chicago area to make these jumps. And the weather's looking good this week, so we're excited to put on a good show for you and give you something that people will never forget.
I'm looking forward to it. Duffy, great to have you with us. Appreciate you spending some time this morning. And do you have a physical presence on the field if someone wants to find out more about skydiving?
Yeah, I'll be. Actually, we do have a Hall of Fame. The Skydiving Hall of Fame and Museum has an exhibit here on the field. You can look it up in the guide. Come and visit us. We have talks there all week long and descriptions of the big formations that we've built in the past, and also talks from other pioneers in the sport.
Great. Appreciate you being with us this morning.
Thanks for the invite.
All right. And you're listening to From the Stand on EIA Radio.